Will you join me in the prayer for illumination? God of the law and the prophets, whose commandments abide through all generations, open our minds and hearts to your word. Fill us with understanding and fresh resolve as we hear your truth for us today. Amen. Now, I want to tell you that this coming Tuesday is one of my favorite days in the entire year. That is Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. You know, really, this should be on the in the church liturgical calendar, because what could be more congruent with Jesus' commandment that we should love each other than a day when we think about the people we love and we tell them? You know, it's not just for sweethearts. It's for everybody that we love. If you go into the to the drugstore or the grocery store where you buy your groceries, there are lots and lots of Valentines that have been available for purchase for weeks now. There are a lot for sweethearts and husbands and wives and so forth, but there are others for our family members and for our friends, and even to give and receive from your dog and your cat. I'm not kidding. Check it out. And we think about those that we love, and we remember Jesus' commandment. And remember, it's not a suggestion. It was a commandment. He said, you are to love each other as I have loved you. But loving each other is not always easy. There are many things in this human life that would seem to work against our loving each other. Today's lectionary selection from the Gospel of Matthew seems to help us to remember some of the most common. We hurt each other, we become angry with each other, we seek revenge, we hate, and all of these things can affect us spiritually, but really can also affect us physically as well. Someone once said that to hold on to bitterness and hatred is like drinking poison and then expecting that it's going to hurt somebody else. Well, when we remember those we love, let's think for a moment now about one of the most common ways that stands in the way of that love. And this is from Matthew 5:21. You have heard it said to people long ago, you shall not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, you fool, is subject to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go first and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, is there any antidote to hatred and to the prison of anger or of grudges or seeking revenge? Any Facebook users out here today? I know there are some of you are Facebook users. You know, I'm on Facebook, but I don't get on very often. At least that's what I say. But here's what happens. I intend to get on for no more than 10 minutes to see if there is anything there that I should respond to. You know, things like family and friends and maybe helpful information and so forth. And without even noticing it, an hour or more has passed, and I am still scrolling. You know what I'm talking about? Well, just this week, I was on for 10 minutes, and I found two pictures of Bob Ross. Anybody know who Bob Ross was? Bob Ross, for many years, was on public television, and he was a painter. And in the time that was allotted to him, I can't remember if it was 30 or 60 minutes, but he would construct a painting for us right before our very eyes. He mostly did landscapes. I don't know if other people actually tried to replicate what he was doing, but it was just fun to watch him. It was just fun to watch him put this together. And he seemed like such a pleasant person. He would say, "You can do this. Now you're able to do this." And then he'd say, "Now we're going to put in a happy little cloud up here. Or here goes a happy little tree over here." Well, Bob Ross has gone on to glory. He's painting in the kingdom of heaven now. But on Facebook, there were these two photographs of him. He's painting. And it's sort of a side view as he's painting. And there's a caption, and it says, "I can't afford to hate anyone." And the next picture is he's painting, and he says, "I don't have that kind of time." In other words, to hate someone would take energy and time away from what he is supposed to be doing, what he wants to do, and that is to paint beautiful things. Well, could it be that the refusal to hate, could that be a remedy? And based on our anger and on our bitterness, we make mistakes, probably most of us every day. Think about people who, after a divorce, carry around feelings of bitterness and a desire for revenge, sometimes for years. And generally, the only person that they ultimately hurt is their own self. Jesus, as usual, hits the nail squarely on the head. He says, "You have heard it said that to people long ago, do not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, go and be reconciled with that brother or sister first, and then bring your gift to the altar." Have you noticed that anger can sometimes make us do silly things, maybe even stupid things? There is a man by the name of William F. Merton of Mount Clemens, Michigan, who wrote to the Reader's Digest some years ago, and he told about this argument that he had with his wife. They were at a party, and they started an argument as they were leaving, and they got into their car, and the argument escalated. Well, they were in not a very safe part of town. It was not a good part of town. So they stopped the car long enough to lock the car doors, and then as they started out again, the argument continued, and it escalated, and the wife just kind of worked herself up into a lather, and the husband said a few more choice words, and she shouted, "Stop the car and let me out." So he drove to the curb and stopped the car, and she unlocked the car and got out and looked around a minute, and she got back in and she said, "Take me to a better neighborhood." Well, that broke them both up, and the argument as well. See, anger can sometimes make us do silly things. But anger is a part of the human experience. We have all been angry, and we will be angry again. It's just part of the human experience. So what to do? Well, first of all, it would be better if we would not let our anger fester and grow. Get rid of it. It's not going to do us any good. There is an author by the name of Kent Crockett who tells about Sam and Jacqueline Pritchard. They were a British couple who started receiving telephone calls in the middle of the night. The person who called them would never say anything, but after a pause, would just simply hang up. Well, the preacher changed their telephone number, hoping to stop the harassing calls. But that all that happened was that the stalker changed his tactics. And he started sending them obscene and threatening anonymous letters in the mail. Well, then the problem escalated, and the couple discovered that paint had been dabbed on their house and that the tires to their car had been slashed. Well, they became actually prisoners in their own home, and they spent a small fortune trying to install a security system. And one day, they happened to have a situation where they confronted the man. See, this couple had no idea what they had done to deserve this kind of treatment. But one day, Mr. Pritchard was out, and the perpetrator was there vandalizing his car again. And they looked at each other, and he said, "Why? Why are you doing this to us?" Well, he had confronted a man by the name of James McGee, who was 53 years old, and he looked back at Mr. Pritchard and he said, "Oh no, I've got the wrong man." See, McGee thought that he was terrorizing a different man from Pritchard, and he was angry with the other Mr. Pritchard because he had been spreading lies and rumors about him. And so he had found the Pritchard's name in a telephone directory, and he had assumed that the husband was the person who was responsible for slandering. He had got the wrong Pritchard. What an absurd turn of events. But anger has a tendency to do funny things to us. It blinds us to reality. It can blind us to consequences. It can blind us to the irrational harm that may come from our rage. For our own best interest, if we are angry with someone, let it go. Try to be reconciled, but if that reconciliation is not received, let it go. Many people today have trouble with forgiveness, and yet we cannot be the people that Jesus wants us to be if we are not able to forgive the wrongs of others and seek reconciliation. Did you watch the State of the Nation address last Tuesday? Well, the parents of Tyree Nichols were seated in that audience, and they were recognized by President Biden as part of his address. These were the parents of a young man who was stopped in Memphis for a minor traffic violation and who subsequently was beaten to death by five policemen. Now, regardless of where you fit on the political spectrum, surely none of us could help but catch our breath when we heard what Tyree Nichols' mother said. And this was just days after the funeral of her son. She said, "My son was a beautiful soul, and something good will come from this. Something good will come from this." I have to confess, brothers and sisters, that if that had been one of my children, I am not sure I could have manifested the same level of grace and forgiveness and hope that something good would come from this. But how do you do that? The best way to let go of negative, hurtful emotions or desires is to turn it over to God. Do not try to do it on your own. Don't try to handle it alone. Leslie Duncan once told about a dog that he had when he was a little boy. His father would occasionally test the dog's obedience. And he would do it by putting a piece of meat on the floor in front of the dog, and then he would say to the dog, "No, the dog was not to touch the meat." Well, that dog must have had a terrific urge to grab that meat and go. But Leslie Duncan says the dog never looked at the meat. He seemed to feel as if he did, the temptation to grab it and disobey would be just too much. What the dog did instead was to look into the face of the Master. Well, Leslie Duncan says that there is a lesson in that for all of us. Always look up into the Master's face. Now, that may sound a little simplistic, but I think it's also true. The best that we can do when we are tempted by anger or by the seeking revenge or for hatred or any other hurtful motion and a desire to hurt somebody else, the best thing we can do is to keep our gaze fixed on our faith. If we have committed ourselves to Jesus Christ, then we have a pretty good idea of what's good and what's bad. We have a pretty good idea of what's right and what's wrong. We have a pretty good idea of what is life-affirming and what is destructive. Do not allow yourself even a glance in the direction of that which would pull you down. And pray with all your might that God will keep you and help you to deal with your anger, with your hatred, with your spiteful tongue, or whatever else it is in your life that could cause you to hurt somebody else. And if you have already gotten yourself in a bad situation, remember that our God is a God of healing and a God of reconciliation. There is always hope. There is always hope if we are willing to yield to God's control. But reconciliation is hard work. Spiritual leader Ram Dass once said, "We are all of us just walking each other home." We are all of us just walking each other home. Well, I find that I want that walk with others, at least on my part, to be gentle, to be generous, and to be loving, to be kind, and regardless of what the circumstances are. And I expect that you feel the same way. But we don't always do it that way, do we? As we approach the holy season of Lent, may we continue to grow into greater imitation of our Lord Jesus as we continue to walk each other home. Amen.